I'm just giving you what our views and what we see. If you can't, if that's not what you can accept, that's fine. You know, there's no problem. But that's what we're seeing. It's a remnant. See, the remnant within the church is not the situation where the remnant's saved and the church is lost. There's a remnant. There's a church. There's a God's people, and there's a remnant of that people who go farther than the rest, who are like the Marthas or the Marys. I mean, okay, and they receive better reward than the rest. And one of that rewards they receive is ruling and reigning with Jesus. See, if you don't look at it as dividing God's people up, because we're all going to be brought back together again. It isn't some kind of division, but we're all going to be brought back together again in the new world. You know, see, the millennium is only 1,000 years. It's just 1,000-year reign. It's a reward for those who go with all the way with God. That's all it is. And at the end of millennium, the rest of the church, the rest of the God's people, are unified again. Are unified with Jesus and with the rest of the overcoming remnant. And we all go into the new world into something that's we don't even know what to even say about it. So it's so far beyond what we're. I mean, the Bible doesn't already say anything about it, you know. So we don't even know what it is. We can get a little bit of a grip of what the millennium is a little bit, but the new world is just so far out there. Nobody even has any idea what it's going to be. But it is a division, as far as I'm concerned, as far as we see. It's not a permanent one. It's not one that says these people are saved and these people are lost. Well, these people are better than the other people. They just were more faithful in their commitment to God, and they have rewards that the others aren't going to participate in. Now, when it's all joined together again, when the Jerusalem comes down on a new heaven and new earth, there's a whole new thing starts there. We're all together. Perfect union, you know. Rebecca says, some could come into the outer court, but no sin could go into the Holy of Holies. If the priest didn't go in just right, he died. That's right. I think I get what you're saying there, if I'm not mistaken. Some could go into the outer court, but no sin could go into the Holy of Holies. Okay, that's right. If you can see the millennium as a reward and not a just not a part of the package deal of Christianity that comes to everybody, and so if somebody doesn't get it, we're taking something away from the God already had. See, it's our when we come to the Lord, we get a crown, we get a robe of righteousness, we get certain things. We're exalted and put at the right hand of God and spiritually, our spirits and stuff, and then it's up to us to keep them. You know, that's why Jesus said, "Let no man take your crown." Well, if somebody takes my crown, he's not going to get a double crown. He's not going to get double what I got. It's just Jesus, Lord, saying, look, I gave you a crown. I give you a robe. Keep your robe clean. Don't let your robe get spoiled. Don't let your robe get defiled, you know. I give you a crown. Don't let anybody steal it. You're seated in heavenly places. Don't let the dragon's tail pull you down out of that heavenly places. Don't let the things of this earth, the flesh, whatever, you know. Purim says, this is such an important thing. If this were so, it looks like the scriptures would be more clear about it. Well, there's some things in the scriptures that I believe are hidden, like the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a whole walk past Pentecost, which is called Tabernacles, and that's not revealed very clearly in the scripture. It is revealed, but it's not revealed very clearly. You know, so, I mean, for me, that's not a big thing. For me, because it's not real clear, it's not exactly laid out in black and white, you know, that's, you know, it is. That's right, Rebecca. It's the whole pattern of Scripture. That's true. That's very true. But that's okay. Ask the Lord. Just ask the Lord if what I'm saying may have any truth to it. If not, then you, that's it. You know, you'll just have to say I'm wrong, like a lot of other people are wrong in some areas. I hope you don't think it doesn't make me a Christian. But that's okay. That's right. That's right. We all have to walk in the light we have been called to. Great. Good. Good. I'm glad that's fine. That's God. That's all I ask. You know, just ask the Lord if maybe there's something there you're not seeing. Or. Yeah, I know. I know. There is. You know, there's such a thing called hidden man in the scripture. That's in Revelation also. And Kings. It also says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search it out. Not everything God does is second white, you know. Sometimes you got to search for things, you know. something. There's levels of scripture when it comes to just initial salvation or you know, the right under the surface. It doesn't take anything to see it or understand it. Right there, it is black and white. But there's deeper revelations in the scripture which require more consecration, a closer walk to the Lord, an ability to hear, a willingness to hear different things. I'm not saying you're not willing. I'm not saying you're not, you know. I'm just saying the scripture isn't just all surface black and white. You know. She says, I've read all your, oh, you read all my books, and you agree with everything you say, just not sure about this one. That's all right. So, that's fine. Maybe it's not time, or maybe, whatever. You know, that's fine. But, for me, there is a few scriptures. There's a little bit there, enough for me to believe it's true. You know, that's all. And everybody's going to go with what they feel the Lord shows them. Okay. Amen. How about anybody else want to have anything to say? Or are you all just listening to this to see who wins? Rebecca, it is hard to understand someone else's calling. To me, it's all or nothing, and depends on God's grace to give me. That's right. That's right. Amen to that. Creaky says, listening and learning. Good. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, little flock, me too. Okay. Well, this is one of the things. Let me just say this. You remember I told you, or I mentioned several times, I don't know when last time I mentioned it was, that 40 or 50 years ago, there was a whole exodus out of the church of a lot of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It actually started in 48 when Israel became a nation, but it went from 48 and started growing in the 50s, you know, to the 50s a little bit. And when these people came out, they didn't come out because the church is an apostasy like it is now, and it's the world flooded in, and everybody's just living like the world. I mean, what they had, they were people who believed the old traditional doctrines of, you know, it's all by grace. You don't have to do anything. It's a package deal, you know, and all that stuff. They believed all that. And all of a sudden, God started showing a little deeper revelation. You know, showed them that wasn't true. Not only showed them what that wasn't true, started showing them deeper things in God, you know. And that's why they came out, because they tried to share these things with the people in the churches. They didn't just say, hey, you're all a bunch of scumbags. You're waste. You're all apostasy. We're leaving. The people came out of the churches then. They came out because they tried to share what God was showing them with the people in the churches, particularly the Assembly of God, especially. And the church is just like, forget it. This is the gospel. You're getting works of grace. You're going off the deep end. None of this is in Scripture, blah, 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 okay? And one of the things that God was showing them is that there's a difference between the bride and the sons. There's a difference between Zion and Jerusalem. There's a difference between the 30, 60, 100. There's a difference between the rewards that go with all these things. That was one of the things that they got that brought them out. There's other things also, the fivefold ministry doctrine, which has been polluted from the beginning, and you know, all kinds of other stuff. Personal prophecy, but the big thing was that there was something past Pentecost. See, the first Assembly of God people were Pentecostal people, and they thought they arrived. You have Passover experience, the walk, and you have Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, gifts, ministries, and all that. And these people got a revelation that there's something beyond that. There's a third feast in Israel. It's typified. It's just as Passover and Pentecost typify experiences, spiritual experiences in our life. So this third feast, Tabernacles, typifies experience. And it's a deeper understanding of what God's doing. It's a more restricted walk. It entails more suffering, more discipline, more obedience, more dependence. And there's other things that came out of that, see? So that's what brought them out. It was this kind of revelation. Now, they don't, you know, so I'm just saying, for them, and I believe I believe it's true, and what they were saying was there's something deeper in the Bible, there's something more in the Bible than just being saved and trying to be a good Christian. There's something much deeper if you're willing to go on with God, even past Pentecost. Okay, but Pentecost is very exciting. Pentecost has power. It's gifts, ministries. Pentecost is an exciting realm, an exciting walk. It's an exciting experience. And not many people were to come out of Pentecost to go for tabernacles because, first of all, some of the stuff is obscure, it's not real clear, it's more painful, it's more restricted, it requires a lot more death. Okay, so, but this is one of the things that God started making real to people back then. There's a difference between Zion and Jerusalem. There's a remnant of the church that's going to experience something that the rest of the church isn't going to experience. And basically, really, it's only the big part of what they're going to experience, what most Christians won't, is just ruling with Jesus in the millennium. You know, because after that's over, we're all in, and we all go into whatever God has in the new world. So I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, I really don't think it's that big a deal, but it is a big deal with some people. They can't split the church into a remnant that goes farther in God and therefore gets rewards that the other people don't get because they don't go as far in God. As long as you say that in general, maybe people can accept that. But when you say one of those rewards is ruling and ruling the nations, millennium, that's a whole different story. Then that goes against everything everybody believes. You know, because that's part of the package deal. We're not taught, you know, not that that's a reward, it's a deal. What? Yeah, somebody mentioned here that at the end of the millennium, in Corinthians, I think it says, Jesus returns the kingdom back to his Father. Okay, so this is all something that's this is particularly and specifically all about Messiah's kingdom, what he was promised in the Psalms, his messianic kingdom, his rule on earth. You know, at the end of that, he's going to deliver all that back up to the Father, which it says in Corinthians, and then we're going to do something new together. You know, it's not like the sons of God or the Zion or whatever we call the overcomer or a hundredfold is going to be out there forever separated. And it's just not like that. It seems like that if you don't get it right, or maybe seem like pride or seem like rising up over other Christians. But God's a just God. We're all going to get exactly what we deserve. And we'll all find out in the end. If I'm right, we'll all find out. If I'm wrong, I'll find out. We're all going to find out in the end where we made it based on the choices we, you know, made in our life. That's a fact. That's a fact nobody's going to deny. Everybody's going to be exactly where they ended up because they chose to be there. You know, I can't blame the devil, blame it on God, blame it on predestination, election, anything like that. We are going to make the choices to put us where we're going to be. You know, and that's the way it is with their relationship, isn't it? Purim says, you have to have a deep love for the truth before God will reveal anything to you. Well, that's true. I agree with that. Amen. Well, I rambled on enough here. Anybody else have anything or any thoughts? You want to add? You want to jump in? Good. Okay. Oh, well, hang on. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, since nobody else is speaking, I agree with that. What all you say with that? I was just saying about my calling and or what the Lord is showing me and to do, and I can't do anything else. I'm not sure if I would make it at all if I didn't. Whether I'm part of that inner remnant or not, I just know that I've just got to seek Him wholeheartedly all the time and to even fall back. I know that I fall, but I have to have the way that God's grace will cover that, because John says if we do fall, you know, we have an advocate with the Father, and I believe that. I know I ramble on, I don't make a lot of sense, but I agree with what you're saying. I love you.
Okay, well, that's good. That's nice. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm not trying to push my doctrine on anybody. I'm just trying to help people see, you know, what God has for them. And if you're called to that, even if you don't know you're called to that, if you give God 100%, you'll end up there anyway. So it's not even based on our head knowledge. I believe people are going to probably be in the first resurrection and have no idea about anything. Just no idea about anything. All they knew is they were trying to obey God the best they could their whole life, you know, and they were able to do that, and that qualified them, you know. Just so we'll all find out if Purim can't accept that. If she goes on with God the whole way, she's going to be there anyway, whether she accepts or not. And if I accept it, but I don't go on with God, I'm not going to make it, even though I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know there's a difference, and I know I should be there. I won't make it. I won't make it. She'll be there, and I won't. You know. So it's very important that we don't let Satan use our own lusts or anything else to get us sidetracked, get us in a place where we're not giving 100% to God. That we think, well, we can coast here and still make it. I can coast here and still make it. I don't have to give all here. You know, God forgive. It's all by grace. What is all by grace? You know, but God weighs all this stuff in the balances, like I said. And I think we're all going to be pretty shocked on the day of the Lord. I really do. J. Jones says, it's amazing the changes in one's thinking in just 1 year. What might seem strange to us now, we may embrace later. That's also true. That's also true. Amen. As long as you're open, what God has for you sooner or later, he'll give it to you, at some point. That's all we can say. Just put these things out here, and if you can hear it, fine. If you can't, fine. If you're wrong, if I'm wrong, we'll all find out. It's going to come out in the wash one of these days, you know. So we'll all find out. Hopefully, we don't find out that, you know, we miss God altogether and end up in a lake of fire. That's the problem we're facing today with this Antichrist spirit. You know, not just a point of missing our call and landing in some lower place or end up in some lower place. There's a possibility that people will go to hell because they open up to this Antichrist spirit and starts imitating God. And that's the real burden I had in my heart of that I've shared over and over again ever since we started this chat room. So precept about precept. Amen. Amen. I mean, God's changed our theology a lot over these years. You know, I didn't come out of the womb or come into Christ just automatically knowing everything or I know now. You know, it's studying the Word, hearing people's, you know, what people have to say, going, compare it against the Word, asking a lot to show me the truth, you know. So that's what we got to do. We got to stay in the Word and stay close to God and find out what he has for us. And if somebody's not where we're at, gotta let them go and have grace with them and just say, that's fine, you know. As long as you let me free to do what I'm doing, I'll let you free to do what you're doing. As long as we're not in sin or some kind of thing that's really against the gospel or against the scripture, then I can have lots of grace on people, lots of slack. I'm a very gracious person, basically, whether I sound like it or not. Stay to show yourself approved. Amen. Purim says, you've taught me a lot, Dan, and I appreciate it. Well, great. Thanks. Right. That's fine. If we don't agree with that, that's fine. Gotta work it out. I'm not worried about it. Amen. So what did everybody think of Bush's visit to Israel this week? Any thoughts on that? Creaky says, ugh. Amen. You know, it's funny. Push them to divide. Absolutely. He stood there and said in one of those press conferences, I don't know if you guys heard this press conference or heard this, or if you caught this. He said, I would never, how do you say that? I would never expect Israel, I forget exactly how he said, I'm just telling you generally because I don't remember the words. I would never expect Israel to establish a state on their borders that was didn't have peaceful intentions or something like that. Okay, it was so ridiculous because, I mean, look, as soon as they left Gaza, take all the Jews out of Gaza, the Palestinians went berserk. They've been shooting rockets from Gaza ever since. It's been 4 years. Every day they've been shooting from rockets from Gaza. So, I mean, to even say that the Palestinians have peaceful intentions, yeah, they sent rockets and they were here. That's right. You're right. That's exactly right. To shake it up and say, we would never tell Israel, expect Israel to establish a state with, you know, has bad intentions and won't live in peace. What kind of talk is that? I mean, that guy is in such delusion. Then he went to the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem. And he went to the Holocaust Museum, and he said that they said he cried. He cried and he said they should have bombed Auschwitz. You know, the Allies should have bombed Auschwitz. And I'm thinking, excuse me, this guy is setting up another Auschwitz. He wants to give a state to people who are bent on destroying Israel. Yeah, he's in there crying about the Holocaust. I mean, that's right. What he's doing is worse. So you got to understand, you can see the state of mind that our leaders are in, right? I mean, it's like totally, totally bonkers, man, are out there. So if you think he'll be the Antichrist if they do get a pull off an agreement, Gordon says yes. Creaky says yes. Little Flock says yes. Do you think he'll do it? Think he'll pull it off? Yeah, no, he wants to give himself a little legacy, just like Clinton did. Kim says Bush is Muslim. You think he will? Perm thinks he'll pull it off. Well, we've been listening to some shows, and they've been, actually, Israeli shows. They've had a couple of people on. There's a I don't know if you all heard this, one of the native tribes in America, I think it's out in Wisconsin, wants to secede from the Union. There's a party in Alaska headed by a woman who wants to secede from the Union because they're not keeping the word, because the government's not keeping the word. And, of course, you got the border. The border's like nothing. It's a waste. It's a total joke down there. I read the other day that the Mexican army and police have been coming across the border and doing stuff. You know, nobody's reporting. Nobody's doing anything about it. And of course, so Mexico and a lot of these aliens want to take back, you know, New Mexico and Texas and part of California and all that, you know. They call it Atland. So if we succeed in splitting up Israel, maybe that's going to be part of the judgment, huh? Comes upon us. Our land gets split up. Of course, it's already going to split up by the highway that goes up, you know, from Mexico to Canada. The highway's like a 10-lane highway. That's going to split the nation right in half. Marina says, several weeks ago, someone mentioned the Loose Change film, and we wanted to thank them personally as it was really impactful. Thank you. I don't remember who it was or if they're even here tonight. Okay. Loose Change. Yeah, I saw that. Everybody see that here? Just be careful, because you're going to find out that none of those people that are into that, not saying it's not true at all, but I'm saying none of those people who are into that will ever say anything bad about Arabs. They'll never admit that anything that happens is actually Arab terrorism. It's always Arab terrorism put up by Bush or the right or somebody else, okay? And also, they're very anti-Semitic, especially Jones, the Jones guy, and most of those guys are very anti-Semitic. They believe the protocols, the Elders of Zion. They believe it's a Jewish thing. Well, sure, I believe them more than 9/11 Commission all, obviously. But they're also very anti-Semitic. They're very bad people. You know, not because they're against the government, but they're saying the government's behind all these things. They're bad people because they're very anti-Semitic and blaming everything on the Jews. You know, that's one of the few things they didn't blame on the Jews. just be careful. I'm not telling you to not believe it. You know, I'm just saying when you go to their sites and you read all their stuff, keep that in mind. That's all. A lot of stuff they say is true. I ain't going to argue with it. I'm not going to come up against it. You know, like anything from the world, Rebecca says, some truth to all of it. Yeah. And see, their main thing is conspiracy goes back to the Jewish people and the protocols of the Elders of Zion. That's the fundamental basics of everything they say and do. It's the Jews who are behind everything. Yeah, he is. He's the one that went to caught Bush. He's the one that caught Bush on video at that occult thing. He's got a lot of guts. I give the guy that. You know, he took a video into that Bohemian Grove thing and caught Bush here years ago. But yeah, they are. They all are. Because I read their websites. I went through the websites. Yeah. That's why I don't quote from a lot of them. I can't quote from people who I know have a lot of error or have a fundamental error. I just won't do that. So that's my opinion, but you check it out yourself. Amen. Well, anybody else have anything to share or on their heart? Kim says, are the Native Americans going to pay back all the free grain? You mean if they succeed? I doubt it. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Rebecca wants to talk again. Go ahead, Rebecca.
My husband said he never took any of the government money. He's a Native American. About the Loose Change and all these government conspiracies and what have you. I won't call them theories because a lot of them I believe are true. A few years ago, the Lord kind of showed us those kind of things and the Loose Change movies and different things, kind of to shock us out of looking at America as, I guess, back into reality, not to follow the ones that were showing and putting movies out and things, because I think there's, you know, they had their own agendas too, but just to show how everybody was voting for Bush, for instance, and from the Christian side, and it just kind of opened up your eyes that, you know, that God isn't into all that. Of course, He sets up the rulers for what we deserve of these times, and He places those in government that that will be for his purpose to the end, but they're not righteous, and there's evil in all sides of it, and this is not our world. You know, we're called to a heavenly calling. You know, it's just isn't my world.
Can you hear me? Go ahead, Jones, Jake Jones. If you hear me, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with what Rebecca said. Those things like Loose Change and Alex Jones and stuff, sometimes I use those as an opening that somebody maybe not want to hear about the Lord, but if I use those types of things to kind of, like she said, expose maybe the corruption of government, I can tie it into Scripture and hopefully sow some seeds. So kind of a just, well, maybe a tool, like she said, to have our eyes open. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Great. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. Yeah, the way I look at it is this. A lot of stuff has truth in it. Some error. Probably most of it is true. But this is the way I see when I'm looking at this stuff. There's several levels you can stop at. First of all, I believe there is shadow governments and things like that, like the Illuminati and the Rockefellers and all that. I ain't doubt that's true. I believe the devil's using those men. Many of them are Jews. Not all of them are Jews. Some of them are Gentiles. All right. And the Jews who are Jews aren't real Jews. They don't care anything about Israel any more than they care about America. Okay. So it's not a Jewish plot. It's a satanic plot. But so the Illuminati is feeding disinformation all the time to people. I mean, the Illuminati. You understand something. Disinformation is one of the main avenues of warfare right now. You know. And so the Illuminati and all these secret organizations are feeding disinformation to people. So they'll print it and spread it abroad. Okay. So when you're looking at conspiracy theories and who's running the world and all the stuff behind the shadows and all that, you got to understand that there's different levels. First, there's what the Illuminati and those people are actually doing. There's what they want to do that hasn't been done yet. Okay. That's what the devil wants. There's a devil behind that all. He's in control of it all. He's setting it up and doing all this work, and you do get instances where they're very honest and they tell you what they want to do, you know, and those are also published. But beyond that is God's will and what God's doing, you know. And for me, I don't want to stop at these levels. I don't want to stop at what I think is going on, what's put out by the print, of course, the mass media, which is totally garbage, you know. I don't want to stop at the level where Satan's telling me what he wants to do, you know, whether he's doing it or not. I want to go up and see what God's view is and live in God's view and God's where God's living in the spirit. And sometimes sometimes I talk about those things to people. Sometimes I send things like that to people. But most of the time, I'm concerned with the overall thing that God's doing, not with what the devil's doing. And a lot of people, it's good to wake up people. Like you said, it's a good tool. It's a good wake-up message for those who think America is what it once was, you know. But for me, I'm interested in my own calling and what God's doing in me and those around me and what I can do to help others, you know, get others out of the fire of hell or save others from getting involved in Antichrist or whatever, you know. So I'm not really into that kind of stuff too much. And I take a lot of it. I take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I don't doubt that there's those things out there. For my personal opinion, just like this 9/11 attack, I do not believe the government set it up. However, I believe the government knew about it, knew it was coming, and let it happen to their advantage. Okay, I don't believe Bush set it up. I don't believe Bush had agents out there hiring wacko Arabs to do that, terrorists. But I believe they had enough information from the security forces during thing that they knew it was going to happen, and I believe they knew when. And that's why I wasn't shocked when he was told in that school. That's why he just kept on talking to the kids. He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. He let it happen to their, and because he wanted to use that to their advantage. See, one of the things that's going on in the Democratic and the Republic thing is you get a president in office who wants to do certain things. There's too much power right now on the Democratic side. If you want to talk politics, just for a minute, I'll just give you my political view, which I don't talk about and I don't even worry about most of the time. But a lot of times, the Democrats, the liberals, the communists, and they are the liberals and communists, the socialists in our government. And when a Republican president gets in and wants to do something to contain communism or do something for the security of the country, he's up against a block wall of liberals and communists who can block him, whatever he does. You know, so a lot of times they create things that will bring the masses on their side, and then the people in Congress and Senate and all that stuff, they had to bow to it. Okay, they had to bow to it. So I think it's one of these things. I think Bush knew it was going to happen, knew when it was going to happen, and let it happen for his advantage so he could declare a war on terror, you know, because he couldn't do it otherwise just with the Congress and the Senate we have. The lawmakers are too liberal. They're too communistic. Of course, that goes even deeper than that. Goes even deeper because then the whole purpose of the war on terror, of course, is not to end terror, but to establish a one world government. Okay, so it goes on and on and on and on. The levels of these different agendas conflicting or coming together. You know, you can't figure it out, and you can't keep it all straight. All you got to know is, I mean, the main thing I feel this kingdom is this age is about to end. You know, so. What I'm focused on is maybe being ready for it, basically. Being ready when Jesus comes. I think Keith won't mind me saying. Keith, you were into politics for a long time, weren't you? And Lord showed you how to get out of that thing. Because Keith was really into politics for a long time. Is that okay to say that, Keith? Or is that too much? Am I embarrassing you? I don't want to embarrass you. Good. Sometimes we can get drunk on strong. Yeah, yeah. Prim says, can you imagine being president and letting that happen? You don't think he could be the Antichrist? Oh, it could be Antichrist. Absolutely could be the Antichrist. I have no idea who the Antichrist is. No idea. There's lots of candidates, though. Not just Bush. But, yeah, so... When you get into those conspiracy theories, you're getting that kind of politics and that kind of level, that kind of realm. You know, so you just got to be careful. Don't stay there. Use it. You know, if it enlightens you, shows you something good, and use it if you can, but don't live there. You know, that's not what God's doing. That's not what He wants us to be involved in too much. That's if anybody cares. Amen. You don't care. That's good. Okay. Anybody else have anything? I'm glad you came, Jay Jones. What's your name, if you don't mind, if you don't mind telling me, put your name up here. I know most of these people's names. I don't use them all the time. Jim, that makes sense. Jay Jones, Jim Jones. Okay. You're not related to the other guy, are you? That'd be terrible. Yeah, great. I'm glad to have you. Okay. Well, is there anything else? Anybody else have anything to share? Anything else on your heart? Oh, maybe before we quit, there was one thing I saw. You know, remember last week we were talking about the foreknowledge of God and predestination and all that, and the elect. God elects according to foreknowledge. Y'all remember that? Oh, Dan, did you get my email about the songs? No, when did you email me? Recently? Okay, what was it? What was it? Oh, yeah. It's there. Okay, I'll read it when we get off then. Okay? Got it. What was I going to say? Oh, I ran across the scripture. I don't really think I have it here. Oh, yeah, I do. We were talking about election according to foreknowledge. And I ran across the scripture. It's in 1 Timothy. I'll put it up here. That's just a short one. I thought it was interesting I ran across this. I didn't know this is in the Bible, to tell you the truth. Timothy's saying in 1 Timothy 5:19, saying against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And then he says, then that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. See that? The elect angels, that they observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. So some of the angels were even elect. Did anybody realize that before? Oh, good, Rebecca. Got the word down there. Of course, one of the things Calvin teaches in I don't think I brought this out last week, so let me bring this out quick. Calvin's theology, each angel was individually tested, you know, as to whether or not they would be satisfied with their estate, cause their estate or place and obey God. And of course, some of them fell. But when it comes to man, we're not tested individually. See, rather, we're all tested at the same time in Adam. Okay? So, once Adam failed the test, then there's no more room for any more tests for us. We have no free will. We have no choice. There's nothing we can do. We're totally at the mercy of God's grace. If we happen to be one of the ones he picks to save, we're lucky. If not, that's it. Too bad. You know? So that was Calvin's thinking. It comes out in you remember the Tulip, right? We mentioned Tulip. The fourth letter in Tulip is called the Irresistible Grace. Let me read you what it means. This is from Calvin. Okay, Irresistible Grace says that they think there's two calls. When God calls people to salvation, there's two calls. There's an outward general call that goes to everybody. And there's a special inward call that only the elect that were predestined to be saved hear. And when the elect hear this, they have to respond. There's no way they can't. They must. Okay? That's why it's called irresistible grace. Okay? So here's what he says. Says that irresistible grace is in addition to the outward general call of salvation, which is made to everyone who hears the gospel, the Holy Spirit extends to the elect a special inward call that inevitably brings them to salvation. The external call, which is made to everyone without distinction, can be and often is rejected. Okay, but this special inward call, which is made only to the elect, cannot be rejected. It is irresistible. That's why they call it irresistible grace. It is irresistible, so it will always result in conversion. So by means of this special call, the Spirit irresistibly draws the sinner to Christ. All right. So salvation, the offer of salvation, grace, all that. Nothing. It's not limited. God's God's work is not, his work of applying salvation is not limited by our will, neither is God dependent upon our cooperation. Get that? It's not dependent upon our cooperation, and not to do with our will. That's straight from John Calvin. So anyway, that's what the irresistible and Tulip means, irresistible grace. If you're one of the called, if you're one of the ones that were pre-elected before the foundation of the world, and God's grace is going to hit you at some point in your life. And when you hit you, that's it. Nothing you can do about it. You will be saved no matter what you do or how you live. That's what that guy taught. It's incredible. Anyway, I thought that it was interesting. I found that little verse there. So they even elect angels. So God elected some angels too. It's not just the men. And again, election is according to foreknowledge, right? Okay. That was just something to throw out there. Maranatha Dreamer, can we invite others to the virtual fellowship, or would you like to have them email? No, you can invite others. That's fine. I put the password out there because there's a lot of nutcases running around Pow Talk. Okay, I know Steve does a different kind of thing than I do. Steve's ministry is different than my ministry. You know, so I'm not going to copy him. I don't expect him to copy me. He lets anybody come in there, and every week somebody causes trouble. Every week. Sometimes it's not that bad. Sometimes it gets pretty hairy for a couple minutes. But I don't even want that. I'm not interested in those kind of people. You know, that's why I give a password. Anybody comes to my site and sees this advertisement for my chat room, they go to the information page about how to set up, you know, the Pow Talk thing and everything. They can email me, and I give them the password. You know, or if you guys want to invite somebody, that's fine. Give them the password. I just don't want the password. I just don't want to have an open room where any nutcase can jump in and start a conversation or start trouble. I don't feel like doing that. I have so many headaches and so many problems in my life. I don't need to give myself unnecessary ones. That's the way I feel. Is that okay with everybody? Great. So you feel free. If anybody wants to bring anybody else in here, that's fine. No, that's fine. No problem. It's not that I don't want people to come. I'd rather weed out the nuts before that happens. You know. And that's right, Rebecca. That's what fellowship is. Of course, you know the reason I started this was so we could all have some fellowship. I didn't start so I would talk every week, although it turned out that way so far. But maybe some of you will be getting the mic in the future and plugging it in and trying it, hopefully. But that's what I want, a fellowship. I want to create a safe environment where people can share their thoughts and share their share things that, you know, they wouldn't share in other rooms maybe or something like that. And I did start recording these sessions, but I was going to tell you this too. I did start recording these sessions for people who like to show up and have things to do Saturday night. So if anybody says anything private or anything that they don't want recorded, I can take it out real easy. You know, and if I perceive anything that's personal or anything like that that should be out there, you know, I'll take out anyway. But if you, you know, if somebody says something, they share, they feel to share something, then they realize, that, remember, I'm taping it. You just let me know you don't want it on, and it's prime. I'll just cut out. It's no problem. You know, it's okay. I just want to make the things available for people who can't be here, because a couple people have emailed me and said they'd like to come, but they got things they got to do Saturday night. So, but I don't want everybody to be afraid to talk for fear it's going to be out to the web. So, you know, I got a fairly good dose of discernment, so I'm not going to put stuff out there that I feel is too personal. But in case you think something you share is, just let me know. There's no problem. Is that okay? Is that right? Does that sound all right with everybody? I don't want the fact that we're recorded to stop everybody from, you know, trying to share and being free. You know, I set this up for a protected environment, and we'll keep it like that. You know. So anyway, well, anybody else have anything? Okay. Well, I guess it's 9:20. Everybody, if you come next week, try and get a mic and try and share something. If you have a little word you'd like to share with the rest, feel something the Lord's showing you, or feel free. Don't feel like you can't talk or anything. If anybody else have anything? Okay, well, I guess we'll shut her down for tonight. If anybody has anything you'd like to discuss or anything like that, you tell me. Also, we can do something like that if you have something that you'd like to look at or something. You know, we can also do that. So I'm trying to make it a place where everybody can feel comfortable. All right, well, we'll see everybody next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.